Hello and welcome to Reasonably Fit. We're Jason and Lauren Pack, and this is the podcast for anyone who wants a more thoughtful and grounded approach to health and fitness.
If you'd like to support our show, we have a couple discount codes you can use on some of our personal favorite products. The first is for our favorite workout footwear, Vivo Barefoot. Vivos are the best of the best when it comes to minimal footwear, and the Primus Lights are the shoes you see us wearing in all of our Instagram content. You can save 10% off your entire Vivo Barefoot purchase with the code JLPACK10. That's JLPAK10. Just go to www.vivobarefoot.com or click the link in our show notes to get a pair today. The second is for our favorite supplement brand, Legion. We've tried so many different supplement brands over the years, and right now nothing beats Legion. Our current go-tos are the whey protein powder, pulse pre-workout, creatine, and immune support, because if you listen to this show, you know our kids are constantly bringing home new viruses from school. We almost always turn down partnership deals because we only ever want to work with brands that we use and love ourselves, and we actually reached out to Legion to partner because we love it so much. You can use code PAK20, that's PAK20, for 20% off your first order and then double loyalty points for subsequent orders, which is the equivalent of 10% cash back. Just go to www.legionathletics.com or click the link in our show notes. Using our codes really helps to support our show, and it saves you money at the same time, so we think it's a win-win. Okay, with that said, let's get into today's episode.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode.
We're back.
So recently, last weekend, I went on a solo adventure with Kendrick, our son, and we went to the Pokemon Go Fest in New York City. It was in Randall's Island, and I've never been there before, but it was like just tons of open space and fields, and they did an awesome job. Like, I feel like oftentimes you go to these events, and it's kind of just like a couple of things here and there, and it's just like a money grab basically for them to just kind of put on an event and kind of mail it in. But it was a very well thought out event. There were so many different like attractions there, and they had giant Pikachus and different like little exhibit areas where you could take pictures, and Kendrick was so thrilled. And so we play the game Pokemon Go, which I'm sure basically everyone is aware of what it is, but you kind of like in a phone app setting, you're kind of catching Pokemon, but you're kind of walking through real life as well. So it's a really nice way to encourage physical activity while also having us enjoy the whole like Pokemon theme behind it.
And it was like early on with when Kendrick started to get into it, it was like the only way we could get him to go on walks. Like, yeah, we were actually struggling to get him. He's not like motivated to go outside. Like, mm-hmm, he's just not that kind of kid. Kinsley every day is like outside. And Kendrick's just not. He'd rather like sit and play with blocks and like build stuff. But we obviously wanted to promote some activity and going on family walks, and so that was one of the ways that we were like, okay, well, let's go catch some Pokemon. And he'd like start running down the street,
just like his face would be so red. But the funny thing was, I thought he would be just like on the phone, like catching all the sorts of different Pokemon that were available that day. But he actually just handed the phone back to me, and he was just taking it all in. I think he was so excited that not only kids, but also grown-ups, everyone had their Pokemon shirts and gear on. And he was just really excited. And he would be pointing out people. It's like, oh, he has a Charizard shirt on. And he was just really enjoying the whole thing. And it was great.
That's so cute.
It's nice to be able to, I mean, Kendrick, we would go on 10 to 15 minute car rides when he was younger, and he would just go ballistic the whole time. But to go on basically a 5-hour trip there and then 5 hours on the way back, and he was totally fine. He just enjoyed every second of it, so it was great.
That's so awesome. He's such a big kid.
Big kid, yeah.
I can't believe it. Speaking of big kids, Kinsley, our youngest, is turning 2 this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So that's also
big number 2.
A big deal. I feel like that's a, like, for me personally, just having had 2 babies who have now become toddlers and now a preschooler, I really like the toddler preschool age a lot more than I love the newborn infant stage. I'm not saying I don't love babies, but I really enjoy toddlers.
You can talk to them. You can reason with them kind of a little bit. And yeah, they're just a little bit more independent.
Yeah.
And so they're just funny. Fun. They're just so funny.
They're so funny. They say really funny things. And I'm just loving this stage for both of them. And we're excited for Kinsley's second birthday. So kind of planning a couple things. It's going to be a beautiful day. So we're going to have some friends over, do some activities outside.
I imagine this is probably the last birthday for a little while where we're going to be hosting it at our house.
Yeah, because right? Now Kendrick wants to have all of his school friends and like go to a trampoline park and things like that.
Yeah. So Yeah, so I think it should be a lot of fun, and I can't believe they're getting so old.
I know. And I'm sure we're going to have a lot of cheese and crackers, which is the theme of today's episode.
The crux of today's episode.
Okay. Today we're going to talk about cheese and crackers, and it's going to go probably deeper than just cheese and crackers, but we have been having this discussion, we just had it the other night, about the fact that, I mean, I kind of had a revelation, which is ridiculous because this is something I do every day, but all of a sudden I was like, I eat cheese and crackers every day. And you were like, I know. And I was like, I love it. I do it while I meal prep the kids' food for dinner. So it's like consistently around 4:30 p.m. I pull out a block of cheese and some, I rotate my crackers. So I was in like a big, townhouse kick for a little while, just like those, you know, party, what are they called? Like party crackers.
Well, you've gone through, yeah, club crackers.
Club, that's what I was trying. Yeah. Club crackers. Then I went to Wheat Thins. Right now I'm on a big Triscuit kick. Mm-hmm. So I get my block of cheese and my crackers, whichever flavor of the month I'm feeling. And I, as I'm prepping their food, I'm snacking on cheese and crackers. And I had this revelation because I was thinking about protein. And I've been thinking about like, am I getting enough protein in my diet? Not in a overly analytical way, but just like, are there holes? Like, are there places where I could increase my protein intake? Because I am, you know, training hard in the gym and I want to make sure that my muscles are recovering. And I was like, you know, I think most of my protein comes from cheese. And then I've like really thought about my diet and I was like, I'm not joking. I think all of my protein comes from cheese. I mean, I eat eggs, I eat meat, obviously, but a lot of my protein comes from cheese. And it kind of got us talking about how much of an evolution I've gone through emotionally, mentally, physically, all these different things to be at a place where I can even say on a podcast that I eat cheese and crackers every day, never mind doing it, never mind embracing it and enjoying it. And we just wanted to talk about that today.
Yeah, I mean, when I first met Lauren, like snacking in general was almost like a taboo sort of subject with you. You would be, let's say, in your dorm room alone. You had dorm roommates, obviously. And, you know, let's say we would come in and it would be as if we caught you with like drugs or guns or something like that. The way you would like quickly like kind of like wrap up your snacks and be like, it's just pretzels and hummus. This is just like my diet thing. And to now have this come full circle and have you not have any sort of panic around food and snacks and this idea that you're eating cheese and crackers every single day is just a complete 180.
Yeah. I mean, I've obviously on this podcast, if you've ever listened to it before, I've discussed my history of eating in general and just like my like emotion around food and going through disordered eating patterns. And one of the biggest things for me was hiding what I ate and feeling so much shame around what I ate. And snacking was always one of those things that was like, whenever you would hear like diet advice, it was like, And the biggest thing for me, which is why I think this new revelation about cheese and crackers is funny, is that it was always about like mindless eating and you're not weighing out exactly what you're eating or measuring it all out. And like if you're going to be snacking, you have to measure out that it's only 12 almonds because that equals this many calories. And here I am just like cutting up cheese until I feel good, not worrying about how much of the block of cheese I ate or how little of it I ate or whatever. It's just about, this is a ritual for me that I enjoy. I feel good. There's no emotion or shame around it. But that is not where I was 15 years ago when we met. And if anything, yeah, there was a lot of hiding and pretending that I didn't eat certain foods when I was speaking to people, but then eating those foods in private alone in this like shame spiral. Like every time I did eat pretzels and hummus was like a big one. I either had to make an excuse for why I was eating it. I've talked about this before on the podcast as well, but I would always, and anytime it was carbs at all, I would always be like, oh, I worked out. I went for a run an hour ago. So that's why I'm eating these carbs. And I would say it to our roommate who was always like, I could literally care less about what you're eating or why. But I always felt like I had to explain myself of why I was eating this and why it was healthy. Like, even if I wasn't doing it for a health promoting reason, even if I was just hungry and wanted a snack, I had to create a story around why this was actually something that was healthy and something that was I was doing purposefully in order to be a healthier person, and like proving myself to other people who weren't asking me to prove myself to them, but I felt this pressure to do so that nobody would judge me.
Yeah. And, you know, being with you at the time, I would feel this sort of like panicked aura around you where it's because you didn't want people to see. And so you would eat it like really quickly and kind of like ravenously. And then also feel like you also restricted a lot of days as well. And so then when you did do it, you would kind of binge and overindulge. And then afterwards you would just feel so full and be like, why did I do that? And get so upset with yourself. And then you're also explaining to other people who don't know you quite as well why you're eating it. And so there would be so much panic around it. But now when I come back home, and I've gotten the kids, you just have the Sonos on, you've got Nora Jones playing, you're just casually chopping up some cheese while you're making their dinner. And it's just such a relaxed event.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you just eat till you're satisfied now and you just feel good about everything.
When you said that, it reminded me too of holidays. So my family, I should say, a lot of eating is cultural, right? Mm-hmm. And like that people talk about it with all different, you know, types, all different cultures, and why you should include cultural foods in your diet, because not only for like health benefits, but emotional benefits and cultural benefits and connecting and all this stuff. And I come from a family of cheese eaters.
Heavy, heavy cheese eaters.
Jewish family. We eat a lot of bagels and cream cheese. And we eat a lot of just cheese. Like, my family loves cheese. And we could all of my, like, my mom and all of her sisters and cousins, like, they would all agree that we would rather eat a charcuterie board for dinner than any other meal. Like, that would be our preference, would be cheese and crackers and pepperoni and all, you know, dips and chips. Like, those are just what we connect over with a glass of wine. And like, that's how I grew up, is that was like family bonding over a cheese board.
The very first time I had dinner with your family, like your whole extended family and all that, I think it might've been Passover, because I think it was a Seder. But basically I didn't understand how much food was going to be involved that day. And your family goes hard on apps.
Yeah.
So there were cheese and crackers or meatballs, like so many. And I was full by the time the main, like, we even sat down. I was like, oh my God, I really overdid it completely. Like, this family loves their cheese.
We love cheese. So anyway, what I used to do when it came time for holidays, again, was I wouldn't just go and enjoy the cheese and crackers the way I do now pretty much every night. I would completely binge, like 100%. It was an out of control feeling of I've been depriving myself of this for months because I know it's not quote unquote healthy. I know it's not good for me. I know it's not going to help me lose weight. And that was all I cared about at the time. So I would be restricting. And I would get to an event like that and I could not leave the counter. Like, I couldn't go talk to anyone else. I was like, this is my moment to get as much of this in as I can and enjoy it as much as I can, to the point of complete discomfort. Like you said, like, you didn't do it because you were binging. You did it because you're hungry and then just didn't pace yourself well. But I was truly uncomfortable. And it was because I had been restricting or in this mindset of this is bad for me and I can only do it on this special occasion. So I have to make the most of it.
Yeah. So it's now a justified thing. You don't feel like you're being judged because it's a family holiday event.
Right. And I would do this like pretty much anytime there was an event. Like if we had a party, if we went out to dinner, like anytime that anything felt like there was a reason to justify eating more because it was special, because it was like a different kind of a day than my regular day, I felt justified in being able to be like, well, I don't do this every day, but I'm going to be bad. I mean, literally, that's like the thing that now when I hear it, my heart breaks for people who say that, because I know what that internal dialogue is. When they sit down at the table and they're like, ooh, I'm going to be bad and order the pasta, I'm just like, oh my gosh, my heart is breaking for you right now. Because to other people, they might roll their eyes. They might think like, whatever, that's like annoying. My heart breaks when I hear that, because it's like, what are the things that you're saying in your head about yourself to make it so that you have to announce that this is out of the ordinary for you, instead of just ordering the pasta and just getting on with dinner? It's like, it has to be this big announcement and this big deal because you're so mean to yourself that you have to justify it, basically.
Yeah. And it's funny, we became personal trainers, and at the time, this was around 2008, 2009. A lot of it was like the marketing was around eat this, not that. There were very strict rules, or just like very strict like guidelines around eating, making sure you're only eating foods in the outside edges of the grocery store, and having produce, and like people would put together recommended foods to get, and it would just fit on one page, right? There would be a column for protein, there would be a column for fats, there would be a column for carbs, a column for veggies, and it just all fit on one sheet. And so us as trainers, we're like, oh, we can only be good trainers if we shop on the outskirts of the grocery store and we eat only these foods that fit on this page. You know, never mind cultural differences, socioeconomic differences, like never mind all the different factors that goes into food in general. It's like restricting to this one page of different foods that are quote unquote deemed healthy.
Yeah, it's always delivered as this extremely simple way to look at food, which is appealing. Like, it's really appealing to be like, oh, I can just look at this list and I just pick my protein, I pick my grain, I pick my veggie, and that's all I have to think about. Until you get into a million different situations where that's not how food is presented to you, right? Like when you're cooking for yourself, it can be a helpful strategy to use. And we've talked about this with the meal prep episode, is that kind of is the strategy we use when we're making our lunches and dinners, is we kind of like put a base of protein, and then we add a carb and we add a vegetable, and we have a little bit of fat in like some sort of dressing or even the oil that we use to cook it. And like, that's our meal. And we put some spices on and make it taste good. And that's a nice way of approaching cooking for yourself, meal prepping. It's simple, it's easy. But when you try to approach your entire life in that way, it gets overwhelming really fast when you're in a situation where you don't have 100% control over every single ingredient that goes in, or when it's not what you want, or when it's not what you're like in the mood for, right?
Yeah, I remember during that sort of early days of us being personal trainers, like what we would often eat is brown rice, couscous.
Quinoa.
Couscous too.
Yeah. Couscous is like pasta. I wouldn't be caught dead eating couscous when I was in college.
Are you sure?
Yes. What? Trust me. Couscous is like pasta that is in like the shape of rice.
Uh-huh.
And to me, I'm not. Oh, just to be clear to the podcast listeners, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with couscous now, but I knew every single grain and what it was made of and what was quote unquote the healthiest versus the least healthy. Couscous was down there because it was actually pasta hiding as a grain.
Ooh, concealing itself.
You're talking about quinoa.
Quinoa. I mean, we had like barley. Like,
oh, yeah.
We were ridiculous. So we'd have that, and we wouldn't have red meat. We would have ground turkey, ground chicken, like grass-fed ground beef sometimes. And it was funny, going back home, my parents own Korean barbecue restaurants, which they're very proud about, and I would go in and be like, well, I don't eat white rice anymore, I only eat brown rice. Like, do you guys have brown rice? And my mom's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't that short rib is too fatty, like I only eat ground turkey now and ground chicken. She's like, this is our restaurant, this is our Korean barbecue restaurant, this is our culture. And it's just funny now looking back, being like just the fact that I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that all of the world isn't just going to conform to my diet that I found on a piece of paper in a magazine. It's just really funny for me to think about now as we were talking about this episode.
Yeah. And there's like, you'll just get in your head when you're in that mindset of like, I can't eat these things. Like, these things will completely wreck my health. They'll completely wreck my physique. Like, all these things, you are so in your head about these rules and think that any deviation from that piece of paper list of ingredients that you're allowed, quote unquote, to use is going to result in either crazy weight gain or muscle loss or bad health. Like all of these things that are really like, there's just so much more to your health, to your physique, to your well-being than every ingredient that you put in your body. But people do make it out to seem like that there is no room for deviation from these perfect ingredients.
Right? Yeah, I feel like there's so much content now, like people making content in grocery stores and be like, You see this food is filled with chemicals and toxins and it's like so bad for you. You can't feed it to your kids. Like there's all that, you know, but there's also on the other side of it, there are more voices out there on social media that are talking about how there's no such thing as good foods or bad foods or healthy or unhealthy. It's just kind of like more matters in the grand scheme of things, depending on what you want to do and all that. So at least there's a little bit more backlash against that.
Yeah, I do feel like there was more, like without social media, it was mostly books at the time. And right. So I would get articles. A book or a blog and I wouldn't see, when you're reading a book, you're not seeing any comments or any feedback on that book. You're just reading the book. And so you don't really get any other opinions on or see any other options for what you maybe are missing, what this book is maybe missing, right? It was just like, I'm thinking about one book in particular that had a diet and recipes, and I followed it so specifically, so to a T, every time I did it for 30 days. Some of you might know what I'm talking about when I say 30 days, but every single time it was like 30 days on this like super intense thing, and then I couldn't take it anymore. Like I was so tired of making sure everything was perfect that then it would be 30 days completely off instead of just being like, okay, what is the reason that I can't have carrageenan in my coffee creamer? Like who made that rule and what even is that ingredient? I'm blindly just took all of these, I don't even know if that's how you say that ingredient, but I remember that one specifically because it was in the coffee creamer that I liked. And I like coffee creamer. And I was like forcing myself to put whole milk or not whole milk. They wouldn't do cow's milk either. I was like forcing myself to do almond milk in my coffee. And I hated the taste of it, but I was forcing it anyway. Instead of just a very small pour of coffee creamer that had this one random ingredient that people deemed toxic in this book. And I was like, well, I'm going to die if I eat this ingredient. Like that I'm a bad person. I'm going to be so unhealthy. I can't have this one ingredient. And there wasn't anyone saying the doses in the poison. What's the quote? The poison, the dose makes the poison.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Like when people, sorry, this got a little bit off the rails, but like when people in those grocery stores are talking about like, this is toxic, this is toxic, this is toxic, people who actually understand food science will respond and say the poison, the dose makes the poison. Isn't that what it is? Or the poison is in the dose. One of the, like something like that, basically being like water is poison if you drink too much of it.
Yeah.
You can call anything toxic if you have too much of it. And it's for everything from water to vegetables to protein to like anything could be quote unquote toxic. And so to not give any context to what you mean by this is toxic or this is a poisonous ingredient and just to make that claim without giving like if you eat it in this incredible quantity that nobody could possibly eat it in, then it's only fear mongering and there's no truth to it.
Yeah. You know, you talking about coffee kind of got me thinking about your coffee evolution as well. So Lauren and I, we met in college and, you know, we would often bond over iced coffees at Dunkin' Donuts and Lauren would have a couple sweet and low in there. And we'd also have those like culottas sometimes on special occasions,
Which vanilla
were incredible. But then you went sort of like hardcore in multiple different directions at times. Sometimes you would go completely green tea, because green tea was a big thing at the time. Green tea, and you cut out coffee. You love coffee, but you cut out coffee to get your green tea. And then you were like, well, you know, I should cut down on my sugar or my artificial sugar. And so like you would get this special sugar. You would order it. And it was like, it wasn't Stevia. It was something different.
It was Splenda?
No, I think Oh, no, maybe it was stevia. It wasn't Splenda.
Yeah, because nobody even knew about stevia yet, but I had heard about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this is better than Splenda.
You would carry it in like...
I'd bring it with me. Oh my God. What a weird memory unlocked. I used to have a purse full of stevia.
Yeah, you would.
Oh my God. That's so weird.
So you would do that. And then sometimes, one time you tried black coffee, because I would drink black coffee because I actually liked it. And you would just be so miserable after. like when you watch Lauren drink her coffee now, she's got two hands on her mug. She's just enjoying every single second, every single sip. But yeah, back then you go through all these sorts of iterations because you didn't want to drink at the time, which was really prevalent, empty calories.
Right.
That was a big phrase. So like obviously sodas and juices were out, but it's like, okay, coffee is like, where can we cut some like calories at coffee? And so you'd go through this like black coffee, like trying it out. And then you eventually kind of had a gateway into what you're drinking now. You're drinking grande soy lattes now, you know, without any issues. But before, the gateway was a grande soy misto?
Yeah.
What was the reasoning behind that?
A misto is mostly coffee. This is specifically Starbucks. I think it's called a cafe au lait. I don't know why Starbucks has like its own name
for it.
But it's a cafe au lait is mostly coffee with steamed milk on the top. So it's basically just like coffee with a little bit of milk, but it's steamed so it feels a little fancier.
Okay.
And a latte is espresso, not coffee. It's espresso on the bottom, which only fills up like... you know, a couple inches of the cup and the rest is soy milk or whatever milk you use.
Right.
So it's a lot of milk.
Yeah.
And it's so much more delicious.
I mean, when I do drink yours, it's delicious, but it feels more like milk with a side of coffee now at this point. But it's just funny to think about the evolution of, you know, you kind of drank whatever coffee you wanted. Then you went completely cold turkey. But then you kind of had a little bit of a gateway coffee into what you currently drink, which is grande soy latte, which...
That's from Starbucks. At home, I just drink coffee with a splash of creamer.
Yeah. But it's just funny.
No, oh, it's funny. And I want to acknowledge like real feelings. So when you were saying that, my first reaction was like, I don't want everyone to think that I drink a whole like latte every single day and or that I think that that's a good option or a healthy option. That was my first reaction. I'm like, but I do.
Yeah, yeah.
And why do I not feel okay saying that even though I'm already talking about eating cheese and crackers every day? Like, but I do. I just have this like, I'm so programmed to want to give optimal like advice or to help people like, well, maybe that is a place where you could try to be like where I could try to be a bit better. Like maybe I should go back to a cafe au lait. Like when I'm really thinking about it, like that's a lot of soy milk. Like maybe I shouldn't be. And I do. I go there initially because that's how I'm programmed. And I think that's how we're all programmed is to like look at what we're doing in a little bit of a negative light or in like a way that we should be ashamed of instead of just being like, I'm very happy in general with like how I feel on a daily basis. Like I don't, and I will say like during that time where I was restricting and binging, I had so many digestive issues.
Yeah.
From things that now I eat on a daily basis, or so I thought then, right? Like I went through a gluten-free phase. I went through a dairy-free phase because I was constantly feeling physically ill and not just because, I wasn't pretending, like I was physically ill after everything I ate. Because there was, I don't know for sure why, but there was so much emotion wrapped up in those foods for me. And that there was so much thought that they were bad that I think I was physically making myself sick. Because there's not a food now that I eat that makes me feel that way anymore. Even though it was, I thought I was gluten-free. I thought I had to be gluten-free. I thought I had to be dairy-free. I thought all these foods were so bad for me that I couldn't even eat them because I would be physically sick. Now they don't affect me physically and they really don't. Like, how is that possible?
It's pretty wild. Yeah, I mean, we would go to the North End, which is sort of like our Little Italy section in Boston. And, you know, you'd get like a gnocchi or something like that. And you come back and everyone's like hanging out, like drinking, partying. And you'd be like on the couch, doubled over, clutching your stomach because you were in pain.
Yeah,
like,
I was
your stomach was a knot.
I was sure I had celiac. I had multiple endoscopies. They came back inconclusive. Like they were like, you don't have celiac, but like maybe you have a sensitivity, so you should just kind of cut it out. And then when that didn't work, I cut out dairy. When that didn't work, I cut out soy. Like I did FODMAPs. I did all of these things that I thought were causing these like really intense pains. Like I was in so much pain. And the fact that I didn't have surgery, nothing physically has changed except for the fact that I gradually let myself eat those foods and stopped panicking about those foods. And now I can eat them all again. I'm not a doctor. And there are people who obviously have very serious food allergies. And I'm not saying that people should just start eating those foods. Like, absolutely not. 100% want to put that like disclaimer out there. But I do think that there was something in my personal like experience that having a mindset shift around foods and their effect on me really had a physical shift, created a physical shift as well.
Definitely. And I would say, you know, we went over coffee, we went over cheese and crackers. One other sort of, I guess, notable sort of difference has been something sweet after dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And yeah, you want to just go into it?
Well, I mean, do you want to describe what I used to make after dinner? I want to hear from your perspective.
So yeah, during this phase, Lauren would be on this kick of quote unquote healthy, or at least not quite as quote unquote bad desserts. And after dinner, she would create all these sorts of concoctions. Like one of them, a staple, was this little bowl of coconut flakes and dates and maybe even some chocolate chips potentially and something else in there. And she would just like mix it all together, and she would have this sort of like rabbit bowl of like random naturally sweet sort of items. And maybe it was like dark chocolate chips or something like that, just to make it a little bit healthier. So she would have that. Sometimes she would have sugar-free chocolate pudding. There were a couple of other ones that I'm forgetting now, but they were like masquerading to fulfill your whole like sweet tooth at the end of dinner.
Yeah, I've always just wanted something sweet after dinner. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think a lot of people kind of crave something a little bit sweet after dinner. And I was so in this like swap this for that kind of like mindset that it was like, instead of having chocolate, instead of having like ice cream at dinner, have this sugar-free Jell-O. And in theory, or sugar-free pudding yeah. And in theory, that sounds like, oh yeah, they're both chocolate, they're both sweet, like that's a good swap. But the thing that was starting to happen for me was that it was like with the sugar-free pudding stuff, like it's so unsatisfying that I would eat a lot of it to try to satisfy myself, right? Yeah. So I was eating like an entire like carton of it instead of like the one serving that you're supposed to eat, because I was like, this isn't actually good, but I want it to be good. It's not actually sweet, but I want it to be sweet. So I'm just going to eat more of it. And then the other thing that I would do was like trying to make things out of healthy quote unquote ingredients, but it was like nuts and coconut and craisins and things like dates, with the dates, the things that you were describing that yes, they are all healthy, but I was putting them together in this dense bowl that was like thousands of calories.
It's like, probably like 900,000 calories.
It was
for sure
a lot of food. It was so dense, and I was doing it because I wanted to eat something sweet in a healthy quote unquote way. And I felt really justified in like doing those things because I was like being a healthy personal trainer, and like it was just like I can eat all this stuff because it like whatever, it's healthy. And now I'm like, all I need after dinner is one square of Ghirardelli chocolate, caramel, preferably salted caramel, preferably, and I'm completely satisfied with that. And it's 70 calories. Not that calories matter, and I'm not saying that that's what matters, but like ultimately I was putting so much more into my body than I needed because I was trying to fill this hole of something that really wasn't that big. Like it was like a small hole, and I was just like shoving like boulders into it instead of putting a little pebble on it or whatever. Like it was like it didn't need as much as I was giving it, but because I was so like worried, and I was using ingredients that didn't have any like, well, sometimes not any nutritional value when it was the like sugar-free stuff, or sometimes just like not the, like it wasn't actually satisfying the craving of something sweet. It was like pretending to be something sweet. I just wasn't getting what my body was like asking for, which is like one small something sweet.
Yeah. I feel like there a little bit of a bridge the gap moment was we started experimenting with just the most extremely dark chocolate possible. We would have these like 80 to 85% dark chocolates, and we'd be like chewing it. We'd be like, ugh, ugh,
ugh. It's like chalk.
And then like, I think we kind of graduated towards like different types of chocolates. And then finally you're like, these Ghirardelli squares, they're prepackaged in this like little format and it's perfect for me. And you have one after dinner without fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's great. Yeah. And I'm not embarrassed about my, like when you see me eating one, I'm not hiding it. Like I'm just like, this is part of my daily routine and I'm very comfortable with it. And I move on. Like it is what it is, isn't it? That's a Love Island nugget for you if you watch Love Island UK.
But yeah, yeah, I think we've kind of gone through all the different journeys here. You know, one other thing that we do also that really works well for us, we've talked about on the show before, is for breakfast, I would say the majority of the days, we often just have a perfect food bar.
Yeah.
Right? And it's perfect food bar. You tell a personal trainer like from the 90s about this bar and they'd be like, what? It's got 350 calories. It's made of peanut butter and chocolate and like it's got all this in it. And for us, it just works. It helps keep us full. It's so convenient because we're really frantically working in the first few hours of the day, like answering emails and like going through the Facebook group and just like doing a lot of stuff. And we honestly just haven't set enough time aside to make eggs or make a bowl of oatmeal. And sometimes we will do that when we get sick of it. But again, it's just something that works for us that isn't necessarily optimal or what some people might deem as unhealthy. It's just things that work for us and fit into our schedule in a very sustainable way.
Yeah. And I think that what we're basically trying to say, and we honestly, we didn't plan out even what we were going to say in this episode. We said, let's start with the story of cheese and crackers because it was a funny moment that turned into like a pretty serious realization about just like a lot of things when it comes to how we approach like food and health in general. But if there's a takeaway from this episode, I think it's just to take a look at the things that you're doing on a daily basis that you maybe have some shame or guilt about when it comes to eating. And first of all, just ask yourself why. Who put that in your head? Why is it there? Second of all, ask yourself, is it something that doesn't feel good physically? Because there are reasons to make changes to your diet, right? If you are doing something where afterwards every single time you feel like overly full or you're sluggish or things like that, then like maybe it's not great for you. But if you're in a cheese and crackers Lauren situation where you do this thing every day, it feels good, you're happy, you move forward with your day, you realize, oh, I'm getting a little bit of extra protein in that I kind of wasn't even thinking about. Nothing's wrong with that. And to let that stuff go, because the more you can let it go, the more you can focus on just the things that bring you joy in life, the things that make you feel physically good, and just don't worry about the small things that aren't as significant as we tend to make them in our heads. And, you know, there's going to be people who still struggle with like, well, that's still not optimal. That's still not healthy. You could trade out that cheese and crackers for carrots and hummus. And I am one of those people who has gone through that thought process, right? Of like every time things like this come up, my first reaction is, oh, should I even really say that? Because what if somebody then starts to eat cheese and crackers? And it's like, wait, what? What's the problem with that? Like, I think that there's just so much fear around not doing everything optimally, not doing everything perfectly, not having every single ingredient be, you know, from the earth. And it doesn't have to be there. And once you take it away, oftentimes it actually leads to such better outcomes in your overall wellness and well-being. So eat your cheese and crackers if you want. Don't if you don't want to.
Have your lattes.
Drink your lattes. Have your chocolate. Do the things that make you feel good. Try to do the things that make you feel healthy and balanced and all of those good things. But don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we got for you today.
Yeah. Just an unplanned, off the cuff episode. But I think this is what we are planning on trying to do moving forward, is just to be a little bit more off the cuff a little bit and kind of talk to you about some personal anecdotes that have some connection to bigger messages and stuff like that. And so It was fun for us to do, I think.
Yeah, actually, like stories came up that I hadn't thought about in a long time. And I think that that is helpful too. I think sometimes when especially talking about these sorts of topics, I feel like an episode has to be so perfectly planned out. Every story has to already be ready to go and curated, and it doesn't feel as real. And I think this was like the reminder of carrying stevia packets in my purse was such a hilarious like moment. And I just want more of those moments, because I think it's hard to explain in one curated podcast sort of how this whole evolution to being more reasonable when it comes to fitness, when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to wellness as a whole, like how did that happen? And I think just talking it out and remembering moments in between then and now is going to be really helpful for us and helpful hopefully for the listener to know that it isn't a like point A to point Z. There's a lot of stuff that happens in the middle in getting to this more reasonable approach and feeling comfortable in this approach. And yeah, hopefully just like storytelling and remembering moments is going to help us get there.
Yeah. So I think that's about all for today. If you wouldn't mind leaving a rating and review on whatever podcast streaming platform you listen to this from, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
And until next time.
Sweat out.
Happiness in.
Woo.